The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we have a question and answer show, a handbag, if you will. A Q&A where all things are good to go. Things that we'll be talking about today. Detox. Is it true or is it a scam? We're going to talk about, can you see a chiropractor if you have had back surgery? How the gut can affect the rest of the body. 3 to 5 daily habits that will have the greatest impact on the long-term health. So today we've got lots of talking topics. If you've never tuned in to Maximize Your Life or you're unfamiliar about what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we approach the body as a whole. We look at whole body wellness. And so I think most of the time people will go to chiropractors for headaches, neck pain, back pain, and that's obviously what we do. But yet, you know, in practice, I saw just such a need for people that, you know, 2 or 3 decades ago, you could clear the nervous system and people would get well. But the problem is now with microplastics, heavy metals, different types of vaccines, mRNA, you know, questionable studies for that. You know, you just look at all of the burden that comes onto our bodies. I always think I had a godmother, she's passed, but you know, when I was growing up, she'd take McDonald's and all the things, and she would say, well, you always ate there and you were fine, which is interesting because really I had asthma, I was on an albuterol inhaler, I was on an inhalable steroid, I had terrible allergies, seasonal allergies, I was chronically ill on antibiotics multiple times a year, and you're like, well, it wasn't fine, but... But even so, you know, you look at the amount of chemicals, 35 decades, let's just say like lots of decades ago when I was a little kid, they didn't have near the amount of chemicals that they have now. Like, it's not the same. You can say it's still a McDonald's cheeseburger. The composition and the ingredient list, not the same. Same thing, I was looking at Gatorade from, you know, several decades ago, and it was water, it was salt, it was lemon juice, like how you would think that Gatorade should be. And, you know, I think it probably had some sugar in there. And now you look at all the different kind of just junk and dyes and just everywhere in there. And you're like, oof, it's not the same. And you would, it's still called Gatorade, right? Still Gatorade, but the composition, the actual ingredients are not the same. And so what we did 30 years ago to get someone well today cannot be the same. And so oftentimes what I see is that people are looking for more root cause. What is going on? How do we get to the root cause? They don't want to mask symptoms. And that's truly what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. It is actively doing our best to find root causation and then work on preventable, you know, so just a different thought process than waiting until you're ill to try to work, become well, when, what is it? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So, but for that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, common household plastics linked to thousands of global deaths from heart disease, study finds. So synthetic chemicals called phthalates found in consumer products such as food storage containers, shampoo, makeup, perfume, and children's toys may have contributed to more than 10% of all global mortalities from heart disease in 2018 among men and women aged 55 through 64, a new study found. So what, like, I think breaking down what phthalates are. So if you want to look at this, phthalates are actually spelled P-H-T-H. A-L-A-T-E-S, phthalates. So it starts with pH. It's not really what you would think, but phthalates contribute to inflammation and systemic inflammation in coronary arteries, which can accelerate existing disease and lead to acute events, including mortality, said senior author Dr. Leonardo Trazandi, who is a professor of pediatric and population health at New York University Grossman School of Medicine. These are the longest titles. He also is director of NYU's Division of Environmental Pediatric and Center for Investigation of Environmental Hazard. So basically, he said, phthalates are known to disrupt testosterone. Low testosterone is a predictor of adult cardiovascular disease. Phthalates have been linked to earlier studies with reproductive problems such as genital malformation and undescended testes in baby boys and lower sperm counts and testosterone in adult males. Studies have also linked phthalates to asthma, childhood obesity, and cancer. So the new study underscores the potential enormous health and economic burden of DEHP exposure, which aligns with existing concerns about its risk. The American Chemistry Council, which represents the industry, declined to comment. So here, when you talk about the study was published April 28th of 2025, and it was published in eBiomedicine. What it did, Journal of eBiomedicine, examined the impact of one phthalate. So there's lots of them. It's di-2-ethylhexyl phthalates, or DEHP. On global deaths across 200 countries and territories. Researchers analyzed health and environmental data from dozens of population surveys, which included urine samples containing chemical breakdown product left by DEHP, which is known to be connected to cardiovascular disease. Di-2-ethylhexyl phthalate, DEHP, has also been linked to birth defects, cancer, and reproductive harm for men. Researchers compared the exposure with death statistics collected by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluations, which is a U.S. research group that gathers global medical information. The analysis found exposure to DEHP contributed to 356,238 deaths in 2018 among men and women aged 55 through 64 globally. Africa accounted for 30% of global deaths from heart disease linked to DEHP, while East Africa and Middle East accounted for 25% of the mortality, the study found. The research is believed to be the first global estimate of any health outcome from exposure to DEHP, who said the study leader. By highlighting the connection between phthalates and a leading cause of death across the world, our findings add to the vast body of evidence that these chemicals present a tremendous danger to human health. So a limitation of research, however, stems from the use of hazard ratio, the U.S. to estimate population attributable deaths in other countries. So an earlier phthalate study analyzed by U.S. data. In that study, they looked at 5,000 adults in the United States compared to those levels with the risk of early death over an average of 10 years. That research found that phthalates may contribute to some 91,000 to 107,000 premature deaths a year among Americans aged 55 to 64. So people with the highest levels of phthalate had a greater risk of death from any cause, especially cardiovascular mortality. So they looked at hormone disruptors such as BPA, all those things. So what can you do to limit your exposure? Is that you have to avoid plastics as much as you possibly can. So, and this, I feel like people are like, well, you know, and I'm like, where do your plastics come from? Okay, it could be your water bottle. When people say, oh, I drank four water bottles. We drink four water bottles a day. A lot of the times they're the disposable plastic ones, which that plastic leaches into the water and you drink it. Or storing foods in plastic containers. Microwaving in plastic containers or putting them in the dishwasher. So how to limit your exposure. One, avoid plastics as much as you possibly can. Reducing your risk or your use of ultra processed food can reduce the levels of the chemical exposure you come in contact with. Never put plastic containers in microwave or dishwasher where the heat can break down the lining so they might be absorbed more readily. And other tips, you can use unscented lotions and laundry detergents, use cleaning supply without scents, using glass, stainless steel, ceramic to hold and store food, buying fresh or frozen fruits and vegetables instead of canned and processed versions of them, frequent hand washing to remove chemicals from your hands, and avoid air fresheners and all plastics labeled 3, 6, and 7. So just a way to start lessening the mass exposure of these microplastics in our body, because we knew for a long time it causes hormone disruption, and now it goes on to prove more than anything the amount of global deaths from heart disease. And then as well, obviously, men often come in and say, hey, I want to increase my testosterone. I want to increase. And they're like, do the pellet. And like, has anyone been like, hey, are you eating out of plastic? Because that's going to decrease your testosterone. And hey, that sugar, that decreases your testosterone. And inevitably, when we're looking at getting to the root cause, like there's a reason why. And that's where we look at the body as a whole at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, say you or someone you know has had a history of back surgery. Could they or should they get adjusted? We'll tell you more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
I'm wishing you Godspeed, glory. There will be mountains you won't move. Still, I'll always be there for you. How
welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, I will say, I am always willing, excited to hear from everyone. So I would absolutely love if you shot me an email. If there is a topic you desire to hear, if there is a question that might have gone unanswered. I know that oftentimes when I speak, it will answer a lot of questions. It will also create some more. So those are always ones that I always love and appreciate feedback. So you can shoot off an email. It's just very simply info, I-N-F-O. At GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Very simple, very long. Info at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. So shoot that off. Now, let's talk back surgeries. And I don't know that I've spoke as much or in detail on this But I thought it was really interesting because people will often ask, well, I had back surgery, so I can't get adjusted. And to that, I say, well, that's not all the way true. And here's why. Let's rephrase. Can all chiropractors adjust someone with back surgery or surgical fusion? And the answer to that is yes. Though that being said, my follow-up question is always like, should all chiropractors adjust someone with a history of back surgery or surgical fusions? And the answer to that for me is no. So here's why. Number one, there are unfortunately a lot of people in the chiropractic profession that pride themselves on no exam, no x-rays, an adjustment faster than a cup of coffee, right? And I've said it once, I've said it before, I'll say it 100 times over. Skipping an in-depth, in-detail initial examination is irresponsible as a doctor. So when you have someone who's like, hey, I got the cheapest, quickest cavity fix in town. And you're like, that's questionable at best, right? Like, what are you going to get? And you're like, you get what you pay for. And so there are so many things neurologically that have presented themselves through a comprehensive exam and consultation that would have very much been missed. And I could have injured a patient had I not gone into that depth. Now, as well, not all chiropractors take x-rays, and that's okay. But if there is someone who comes in with a history of back surgery, surgical fusions, trauma, those are ones that x-rays, like it's not fun for me to x-ray people, right? Like, oh, you love x-rays and everyone gets x-rays. No, that's not true. Now, if there is something underlying that warrants those x-rays, I'm going to be a responsible practitioner and I'm going to take them. And unapologetically at that, I had, we'll see what the future holds for me. But I had a peer-to-peer with an insurance company. We're in and out of network with different insurance companies. And this was a insurance company that I am in network with. I am in with a few. Sometimes it works out. We'll see, because I'm not sure how long I'll stay in network with this insurance provider after this. So we had a peer-to-peer. And the peer-to-peer was that there was a concern that I take x-rays on new patients. And I said, well, I'm going to do what I feel like is in the best interest to the safety of my patient. So if I feel like on the first day that patient needs and warrants x-rays, I'm going to take them. And they said, no, you know what you should do? You should wait 28 days. And if and when in that 28 days that patient fails to improve, then you can take x-rays. Like, I can? Like, no. You don't get to tell me what I can and cannot do. If I am their doctor and I feel like they need x-rays, I'm going to take x-rays. So I just thought it was kind of interesting because they're like, nope, just kind of shoot in the dark and hope everything gets better. And if it doesn't, then you can take them. Though that being said, for example, like I have a patient of a history of back surgeries. And I said, hey, what spinal level did you have that back surgery? And they said, I'm not really sure. And that might sound unique and crazy that you would have surgery on your back and you didn't know what areas, but it is more commonly I see that patients don't know what levels they had back surgeries than the patients who do know the level of their back surgery. Now, that being said, x-rays, right? That's how I got on that tangent. My problem is that not all chiropractors take x-rays, and x-rays are a very good indication of what's happening. What segments? What does the disc look like? Is there spurring? Is there degeneration above and below those segments? Now, that being said, if there is something, a history like a surgical fusion, for example, those should not have rotary adjustments. Now, we don't give any rotary adjustments. We do it manually by hand, but we do tractional adjustments. So high velocity rotary adjustments, the high velocity twisting, those are ones inevitably that are not necessarily in the best interest of the patient. Now, most people say, well, I can't get adjusted because I've had back surgeries. And that might be true for that segment or the segments that are fused, for example. But let me give you a perfect example. Say you have L4 and L5 fused in your lower back. That's in your lower back. It's kind of like you immobilize a joint. It's fused, right? Fused means it does not move. And that's kind of like, imagine you put a cast on your arm. Does that arm get stronger or weaker? And the answer to that is weaker, right? Because you immobilized that joint. Similarly, when you have fusions, what happens is because there's no movement in those joint spaces, it causes the paraspinal muscles, so the muscles that surround the spine, it causes them to become weaker. And when those muscles become weaker, what happens is it creates more instability. And when you create more instability, it increases the rate of degeneration. So the segments above and below that surgical fusion become weaker and they degenerate faster. And that's where you see that process of osteoarthritis, that you lose the disc, that you'll see bone spurs that come out, osteophytes, whatever you want to call them. And so when I first started practice, you know, a decade and a half ago, doctors would say, yep, you get one and you're good to go. And now they're a little bit more transparent and they say, hey, it's not, this is probably not going to be your only one. What'll happen is we'll do this surgery. And then if pain returns, you go as long as you can without, like, as long as you can handle it. And when the pain becomes beyond what you can handle, then we'll do another one. And what they do is they take that degenerative area and they fuse it together. And they take that degenerate and they fuse it together. And so they just keep with that fusing over and over and over again. So that's just one of those aspects where it's like, oh, okay. So what most people don't know is that, so you can actually work. And one of the things that we do with kind of the neurostructural corrective technique that we use at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is we work very much with stability and neuromuscular reeducation. So we actually look at strengthening those small muscles and ligaments that surround the disc spaces, like above and below that fusion, depending on where the fusion's at. But that being said, like, there has to be mobility. And so even getting motion through there so it doesn't allow for that progression of degeneration to keep continuing either. Though, but again, I think there's one where, I mean, in our office, we probably have close to 5 or 6 dozen different patients with different types of back surgery. And inevitably, that's one where you're like, okay, hey, let's figure out more root cause for that. So not all chiropractors should necessarily adjust. They likely all can, but not all of them necessarily should adjust. So I think being more in line with someone who does know and understand and has the ability to kind of help, it's not all the same. So just trying to make more educated decisions on who to go to and who to see when we have more of these advanced problems, right? So when we say what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where ordinary medicine and chiropractic have failed, those are often ones where spinal stenosis, degenerative disc disease, degenerative joint disease, osteoarthritis, surgical fusions, artificial discs, discectomies, laminectomies. Like, those are all ones that we work very specifically with those in our office. So just giving us a call, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Up next on our grab bag of questions, how the gut can affect the whole body, and is that detox you're taking a scam? We'll talk next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
You have questions, we have answers.
At Greenwood Family Chiropractic. This is Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853 to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about questions and answers. So we just covered, can you get adjusted or should you get adjusted if you have a history of back surgeries? We are going to, moving forward, talk about the gut health and overall health ratio. People always say, is my gut really that healthy? And I'm like, yes, very much so. But two, I have a lot of people who ask me about certain detox and if they're a scam. And so I always think that it is worthwhile to talk about different types of detox. So let's start first with gut, because it truly is, the gut impacts the entire body. There is a really, really wonderful book. It is by Dr. David Perlmutter, and it is called Brainmaker. He's also the one, if that name sounds very familiar, he's also the doctor, he's an MD, who wrote Grain Brain. And Brainmaker talks about the gut and brain health, which I think is, you know, there's a chapter in there that was called like Brain on Fire. And it talked about depression and GI health, which there's so much that happens in the gut, for the gut, around the gut, what it does, neurotransmitters, hormones, just so many things. So we're going to break it down, but never in my wildest dreams, if you were to ask me 20 years ago, before I opened up a chiropractic office, do you think that you would be doing a lot of stool tests and talking to people about poop and gut health? I would be like, no. Nope, I'm a chiropractor. That's not necessary. And now, honestly, it's not because I love poop. I don't love poop. But what's interesting is when people have really unhealthy guts and they start making changes to their GI health, it is amazing how radically different, people feel. And it's why, you know, because the gut is, when you talk about overall health, one of the things that you have to look at is nervous system, right? That's what we do as chiropractors, but also gut. And so the gut talks to the brain constantly. So you have something called the gut-brain axis. So it's a two-way communication system network involving nerves, hormones, and immune signals. So really, the gut produces over 90% of the body's serotonin. Serotonin is a key neurotransmitter that affects mood, sleep, and cognition, which is why really poor gut health can contribute to anxiety, depression, to brain fog. I remember listening to that book. I was listening to a book. Why? Because I have small children and it's hard for me to sit down and read, but I can listen to a book when I'm folding laundry and making lunches and driving around like a taxi. when people are like, I read three books this year. I listened to three books this year, but they're locked in my brain. I will count it. But anyways, Dr. David Perlmutter was talking about, you know, the GI system and how important it is, and the neurotransmitter, serotonin, dopamine. It's how, what kind of our happy, healthy mood regulators. And what's so interesting is how those neurotransmitters get from the gut to the brain is it crawls up your vagus nerve. And so we talk all the time about your 10th cranial nerve. It's part of your autonomic nervous system. It's how the body, you know, it's called your wandering nerve because it is the, it's one of the longest nerves with all the branch bundles and, you know, so it's so interesting when you're like, oh, okay. Yep. That's how, it's like a two-way communication system. And you're like, okay, so what if there's pressure on the base of your brainstem and it's inhibiting your body's ability to move that serotonin up? Or
you know, it's interesting when we do some more functional medicine testing, there is a marker and it's an indication of serotonin. And if someone says, hey, I'm sleeping really well and I'm in a relatively good mood and that is really high, that indicates to me that there is a GI problem because serotonin is transitioned over to melatonin in the gut. So if you have a lot of serotonin, it's likely not transitioning over to a lot of melatonin. So it kind of shows me if there's a GI issue by just doing a urine analysis. It's kind of interesting. Another aspect why the gut is so important and how it impacts the entire human body is that the gut controls much of your immune system. So about 70 to 80% of your immune cells live in the gut lining. So a healthy gut helps regulate immune responses and protect against chronic inflammation. But when the gut barrier is compromised, like leaky gut, it can lead to autoimmune conditions, allergies, frequent illnesses. So a lot of the times with your immune system too, I will see more skin-related issues. And people are like, what can I put on this eczema? And I'm like, fix your gut. And they're like, no. Like, what can I put on the eczema? And I was like, fix your gut. You know, because so much of what happens on your skin is a direct representation of what's happening inside. A majority of time, not all, but majority of time, that very much has to deal with your GI system. Another aspect is that the gut influences your hormones and metabolism. So gut bacteria, so bacteria in your GI system, helps regulate blood sugar, appetite, and hormone balance. So you'll see imbalance in gut microbiome, which is what we call dysbiosis, are linked to certain conditions like weight gain, thyroid dysfunction, fatigue, impaired nutrient absorption, which is one of the reasons too why I do truly love Prime IV Hydration and Wellness, is because when someone doesn't have a really great gut and we're like, take all of these vitamins, by the way, malabsorption happens, and so you're truly only getting, you know, a very, very small percentage. If you have a great gut, if your gut isn't great, then you're getting even less of a percentage of those vitamins, where you could just kind of bypass that system and get really good, healthy, quality nutrients directly into your veins. So those are ones that your GI system's so important, which is why we'll do gut talks. And we always have the ability for outreach in our office, is because we're like, hey, you got to keep working on the root cause. And so we don't obviously treat immune system dysfunction. We don't treat hormones, right? Or anxiety or depression. But oddly enough, when people start getting systems and cells functioning properly, that's where you will see an amazing, amazing change be able to happen. So just an opportunity. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Another question that I had recently got, are detoxes a scam? And more specifically, someone had asked about those ionic foot detoxes. Now, detoxing in general, I do say I don't feel like is a scam. But I think because it's really hard to measure, like for example, you take a test, your vitamin D is at 45, not great. You get out in the sun, you take a bunch of oral vitamin D, you retest, and it's at 70. And you're like, hey, what we're doing's working. And it's kind of hard with detox because, you know, although we run functional medicine testing, that's not necessarily someone is going to do all the time. But more specifically with the ionic foot baths, people ask my thought on there a lot. And my true answer to that is that I don't have enough scientific research that would demonstrate to me that it is actually detoxing. Like, I've not seen enough scientific evidence that supports it. Now, can it be good? Can it be relaxing? Basically, if you don't know what the ionic foot baths are, is that you sit your foot in this tub, basically in the bath, and ions help pull toxins out. And whatever the color of the water is would be an indication of whatever was going on. So like say your water is
orange, they would say you're detoxing from joints and arteries. So it could be like arthritis, gout, neuropathy, pleurisy. For me, I'm like, you can't detox from neuropathy, right? Like, you have neuropathy for a reason. Either sugar is eating away at your nerves, or you have pressure on the nerves in your spine, and that's what's causing it. And so it's always a little bit hard for me to kind of wrap my head around that aspect of things. Same thing, if it's like white, it could be yeast, candida, it could be causing migraines. If there's red flecks, it could be arterial, it's blood clot material. So those are, it's hard for me from a scientific, like, I like science, I like studies, I like that aspect of things. And you're like, if there's specks of blood coming out in your feet, I'm concerned about your overall health, not just detoxification. And so, but there are really good, and here's the thing, is that people want to have effective detoxification. They want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Like, that's why they're doing a lot of these things. And so I don't think it's harmful necessarily, right? So if someone's like, I really swear by him, I'm like, okay, do it. Like, if that's your jam, like, go ahead. For me, I'm like, okay, what are some good ways to detox? And number one, first and foremost, is always sweating. That is your body's greatest way to get rid of these things out of the body. There are some different herbs you can take, or, you know, we've got like a detox system that has chlorella and spirulina, superoxide dismutase, milk thistle, all like plant-based botanicals that are really good at detox. I had a friend, gosh, it was probably like 10 or 12 years ago now, and she was on this cilantro kick. Oof. Juicing whole bunches at the time with her green juice. And all of a sudden one day she felt, pop. And one of her amalgam, her silver fillings, you know, it's heavy metal, but just popped right out. I mean, that's chlorella and spirulina. Cilantro is another good one. They're heavy metal detoxifiers. So her body was just like, and we're out. And it was like the most, she went to the dentist. He's like, I've literally never seen anything like this. And so I do feel like there are ways. So do I think detoxing in general is a scam? No. Do I necessarily think that a lot of these tools, if you will, are doing as good of a job as we think they are? I think that's also where it's just a little bit questionable, where you're like, hey, let's inevitably just look on getting more down to the root cause. Like, if it's heavy metals, what's the source? How's your detox channels? There's ways to do that really effectively and accurately, and that's more to the desire. So now when we come back, I want to give you 3 to 5 daily habits to have the greatest impact on long-term holistic health. We'll go through what they are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Do what it takes, whatever it takes.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about a little bit of Q&A. Detoxing, truth or scam? Can you go to a chiropractor after back surgeries? The answer to that is not any chiropractor, but some of them. How the gut affects the entire body. But now what I want to dive into,
are just a few simple daily habits that have the greatest impact on long-term holistic health. The best way I can describe this is that in any other regards, we have been taught to care for things we only get one of, right? And I even said, I remember my dad, don't look at the sun. Don't look directly into the sun. Careful, right? Like, you only get two eyes. That music's too loud, right? You only have two ears. Or, when you look at, like, teeth. You technically have two sets of teeth, right? Like your babies and your adult. But from the moment you have teeth, they said, hey, make sure you take care of it. You know, if you have a teenager who gets a car, you're not like, hey, wait till it breaks down to change the oil. Wait till you run out of gas to fill it up. You're like, hey, it's really important to make sure you take good care of your car so it lasts longer for you, right? Like, you need to ensure you have an oil change every so many miles, and you got to like this and that and all of this preventative maintenance. And you're like, what about getting adjusted? And you're like, oh, no. No, not that. And you're like, oh, well, you know, you get one spine. And the problem is, I talked to someone today, unfortunately, and she goes, you know, I think the saddest part is I worked so hard my entire life and always told myself I didn't have enough money and I didn't have enough time. And she said, look at where I'm at now. I'm retired. I can't walk. My back hurts all the time. I'm miserable and I'm doing none of the things I planned on doing when I set my sights out to retire. And she was like, I'll acknowledge it's because I didn't make it a priority to take care of myself. And I'm like, well, you know, I think that's the hard part is that a lot of preventative maintenance is doing things and being proactive before something's broken. I brush my teeth before I have the cavity. I see the dentist before I have the toothache. I get adjusted before my back goes out and I'm crawling in and I can't do anything. You know, like, I guess my eyes checked because I need contacts, right? But like, I can't see. I can't see because I have terrible, terrible vision. And yet, on a yearly basis, I still make sure that at least is maybe not getting worse, you know? So I think just that whole aspect when we put such a value on allowing things to break. And then when they're broken, being like, oh my gosh, look at this great fix. And you're like, but you could have just done things better on the front end. And that's really more so where this thought process of 3 to 5 daily habits to have a great impact on long-term holistic health. So I want to break down that I think are really, really important. Number one, I sound like a broken record. I am positive of it, but you have to drink water. Just when I think maybe I don't have to preach on this, maybe I don't have to sound like this crazy broken record, but drinking water is so incredibly important. And if you find it hard, drink 12 to 15 ounces first thing when you wake up. Filtered water, you can add in lemon if you want. But that's one where like the first thing that hits your body, have it be water. Ideally drinking 80 to 100 ounces of water every single day. Cell cycles need this. Organ systems need hydration. Cells need hydration. But yet we're flirting with the lines and going to say, hey, I'll have a coffee for breakfast. I'll have a tea for lunch. I'll have a soda for dinner. Maybe a coffee, maybe a bottle of water here or there in the in-between. We can't figure out why we feel so terrible. And you're like, you are chronically dehydrated. And it comes to the point, unfortunately, where a lot of that chronic dehydration causes organ system dysfunction. And it might not be as easy as like, up, your kidney shut down because you don't have enough water. But it very much presents with like aches and pains and chronic this and that. And you're like, how much people are like, what do I take in order to, I'm like, just drink more water. Start with drinking more water. Doesn't matter how many, oh, I'm going to take more supplements, or I'm going to do this or that, or the creams and the spreads and the jams or whatever you're putting on your body, right? And you're like, drink water, clear water. That's what filtered, ideally. But you know, it's just one of those ones. So a really easy habit is make sure you're consuming 80 ounces of water a day as a minimum for that. I think another one that's so important is getting 7 to 9 hours of a consistent bedtime. Like a good quality of sleep is when the body repairs itself. It helps detox. It balances hormones. And so having a kind of regular or routine, as much as you can, wind down, like avoiding screens and stimulants. Coffee has an
8-hour half-life. So those are ones where you're like, if you want to go to bed at 8:30, you should not be having any caffeinated beverages after noon. I have a rule for me. It's 10:30. No caffeine after 10:30. And I don't necessarily feel like I'm sensitive to caffeine. In all honesty, it's like it's not a superpower because it's not really great, but I'm like immune to caffeine. So will I stay up extra late? No, I just know that the quality of sleep likely will not be as good as if I did not have that midday caffeine. And that's the second question to ask. If you're having that midday crash, how much water have you drank? Because more often than not, it is likely due to a bit of dehydration. So instead of picking up that coffee, a couple big glasses of water are going to do you in pretty good, helping your body repair and detox. The other 3 to 5 is going to be prioritizing whole foods. Not whole foods like the store. I'm talking about, you know, and you're like, oh, I want a snack. And you're like, what's that snack? You're like, what? Go get some little mini peppers. Go cut up some cucumbers. Grab some fruit, right? It doesn't have to be a cheese and crackers every single time. And you might say, but they're almond flour crackers and they're so much better. Right. They're likely better. But prioritize fruits, vegetables, good healthy quality meat, and good healthy quality fat, you know? Prioritizing those things. They sound too simple, but here's out of those three things, if you're not getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep, I want you to go to bed earlier, right? Waking up later is often a little bit harder. I want you to go to bed earlier and do not turn on your phone. I think another aspect is evaluate how much water you're drinking. I told my husband, we were talking about like servings of fruits and vegetables. And I was like, how many? It was a general question. This was not like a nagging wife question, right? I was just like, how many fruits and vegetables do you think you get in the average day? And he was like, a lot. And I said, you know, and I went through like what a true serving size of vegetables was. And he was like, that's a ton. And I'm like, right. But like, how many cheese and crackers did you eat that you filled up on that made the vegetables seem like they were impossible to consume? Like, start with the nutrient heavy food. But then too, a lot of that stuff, because it's whole, it's nutrient dense, it's rich in fiber, it's colorful, it adds to fuel your microbiome. And we talked about how important your gut health is. Like, a lot of the times, the ultra processed foods and sugars, it disrupts your gut and hormone health. And so those are ones when you're looking at the longevity. And the last one too is simply move your body daily, even if it's just for 20 minutes. If that means you go for a walk on your lunch, if that means you are going to do a little bit of a walk before or after. People are always like, I could never, you know, because a lot of the times I'll go work out at 5 or 5:30 in the morning. And it's not because I just love being up at 5 or 5:30. It's just one, it's a time in my day that I know by the end of the day, it's full of kids sports and swim and dance and cheer and baseball and wrestling and all the different practices and dinners and homework. And, you know, we've got all of this extra stuff. Like, totally get it. But I know that at 5 or 5:30 in the morning, no one needs me at that time. And so that's a time that means, but if I'm going to get up at 4:30 so that I could be starting my workout at 5 or 5:15, that means I do have to go to bed earlier. And that's okay, because that's something that I prioritize for my health. So what I want you to do is choose 1 to 2 of those things. And in the next month, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, start implementing those and take out the excuses of I can't, or I'm too busy, or I won't, or I can't, like all of those negative stinking thinking. And you're going to implement 1 to 2 of those things over the course of the next month and see what changes in your life. Because I promise you, if you start doing those things, your health and longevity will drastically change. So making steps, making changes. I appreciate you turning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.